Resurrected Republic Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Thank you for tuning in to RTR Truth Media on Public Broadcasting Network, RBN, every Sunday between 1 and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chris Switzer, of course, the Freedom Ministry. I think Tom may pop in if he comes in a little later. He's not with us right now. And we do have Rachel Tobias with us as well. So we're going to have a good show regardless. As always, our pleasure. There's a lot to talk about, as always. It seems like information overload in the media and all that stuff seems to be pretty much par for the course as of late. But one of the people I follow on Twitter, you know, sent me a link, and I was going to make a video actually about the very same article, so it's no coincidence. It's a Haaretz article, and it came out on the 6th of March. It's titled, 42 Knees in One Day. Israeli snipers open up about shooting Gaza protesters. And it just gives you a real, you know, nonchalant, blunt idea or picture of what's going on over there in Israel. As most of you know, America supports Israel. You know, they support Israel, largely. I mean, it's upwards of 75-80% of Americans. It's pretty bold. It's wild. There's more support for Israel in America than there are for our own president. You know, there's more popular support for Israel than there is our own American president. They don't even know why they support Israel, probably, you know, by and large. But this article should give people an idea of what the reality is on the ground over there. The subtitle here, over 200 Palestinians were killed and nearly 8,000 were injured during almost 2 years of weekly protests at the Israel-Gaza border. Israeli army snipers tell their stories. And this is one of the snipers, of course. I know exactly how many knees I've hit, says Eden, who completed his service in the Israel Defense Forces as a sniper in its Golani Infantry Brigade 6 months ago. From the time he was stationed along the border with the Gaza Strip. His assignment? To repel Palestinian demonstrators who approached the fence. I kept the casing of every round I fired, he says. I have them in my room, so I don't have to make an estimate. I have 50 definite hits, but there are also non-definite hits, right? There are incidents when the bullet didn't stop and also hit the knee of someone behind the one I aimed at. Those are mistakes that happen. Yeah, I take it they're good mistakes, right? Is 52 a lot? I haven't really thought about it. It's not hundreds of liquidations like in the movie American Sniper. We're talking about knees here. Oh, it's nothing, just knees. I'm not making light of it. I shot a human being. But still, where do you stand in comparison to others who served in your battalion? Point of view, it hits. I have the most. In my battalion, they would say, look, here comes the killer. When I came back from the field, they would ask, well, how many today? You have to understand that before we showed up, knees were the hardest thing to rack up. There was a story about one sniper who had 11 knees all told, and people thought no one could outdo him. And then I brought in 7 to 8 knees in one day. Within a few hours, I almost broke his record. It's like, dude, they're just happy, you know. These are mementos for them. They keep the casings. Hell, they'd probably keep like bone fragments if they could. I mean, it's a memento for them. They're happy. They're thrilled at this. Seeing is believing. The mass demonstrations on Israel's border with the Strip began on the Land Day in March 2018 and continued on a weekly basis until this past January. These ongoing confrontations and protests of Israel's siege of Gaza exacted the lives of 215 demonstrators, while almost 8,000 were wounded by live ammunition, to shy of it by 4, according to the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. Despite the large number of casualties, the grim protests and responses along the fence continued unabated for nearly 2 years, until it was decided to reduce the frequency to once a month. Yet even in real time, the violent Friday afternoon ritual provoked little public interest in Israel. Similarly, the international condemnations from allegations of the use of disproportionate force to accusations that Israel was perpetrating massacres faded like so much froth on the waves. Shedding light on this very recent slice of history entails talking to snipers. After all, they were the dominant and most significant force in suppressing the demonstrations at the fence. Their targets ranged from young Palestinians who were trying to infiltrate into Israel or who threw Molotov cocktails at soldiers to prominent unarmed protesters who were considered to be major insiders. And look at the operative word there, unarmed. Yeah, there are major problems. Both categories drew the same response, live ammunition fired at the legs. That's not all they do either, but that's what they're talking about in this article. There's plenty of headshots to go around, okay? Of the dozens of snipers that we approached, six, all of them discharged from the IDF, agreed to be interviewed and to describe what reality looks like from their gun sites. Five are from infantry brigades, two each from Golani and Gavadi, one from Kafir, plus one from the Duvdivan counterterrorism unit. The names of all of them have been changed. They're not out to break the silence or to atone for their deeds, only to relate what happened from their point of view. Hell, they wouldn't even try to atone. They don't think they've done anything wrong, as you will see. In Eden's case, even the fact that he also killed a protester by mistake doesn't rattle him. Quote, "I believe I was on the right side and that I did the right thing," he insists, "because if not for us, the terrorists would try to cross the fence." See, the terrorists. How does he know they're terror? Because they're Arab. Literally. That's the qualification to be a terrorist in Israel. You just have to be a non-Jew, or as they call you, Goyim, okay? It's obvious to you that there is a reason that you're there. Eden says he broke the knee record in the demonstration that took place on the day the new U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem was inaugurated on May 14, 2018. And that was definitely coordinated. That was on purpose, by design. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you watch the documentary, One Day in Gaza, it specifically shows you the details of that one day, May 14, 2018. So you can watch for yourself. He did it jointly. Snipers usually work in pairs, together with a locator who is also a sniper by training and whose task is to give his partner precise data, distance from the target, wind direction, etc. And this is, again, on the day that they moved the embassy, okay, in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So it was obviously a big point of contention for all non-Israelis pretty much in the region, okay? Eden, on that day, our pair had the largest number of hits, 42 in all. My locator wasn't supposed to shoot, but I gave him a break because we were getting close to the end of our stint and he didn't have any knees. Oh, goodness, he didn't get to shoot anybody. In the end, you want to leave with the feeling that you did something, that you weren't a sniper during exercises only. So after I had a few hits, I suggested to him that we switch. Hey, he got around 28 knees there, I'd say. Oh, good for him. So they shared in the bloodlust. Eden clearly recalls his first knee. His target was a demonstrator standing on coils of concertina wire about 20 meters away. In that period, early during the protest, you were allowed to shoot a major insider only if he was standing still, he says. That means even if he was walking around calmly, shooting was prohibited, so we wouldn't miss and waste ammunition. Yeah, God forbid. In any event, that insider is on the barbed wire. I'm with the weapon right at the fence, and there's still no authorization to open fire. At one stage, he stands opposite me, looks at me, provokes me, gives me a look of, let's see you try. Then the authorization comes. Standing above me is the battalion commander. To my left is his deputy. To the right of the company commander, soldiers all around me. The whole world and their wife are watching me in my first go. Very stressful. I remember the view of the knee in the crosshairs, bursting open, end quote. Lovely, right? We're talking about a human being, okay? And he's just describing it as if he, you know, got his first bar mitzvah or something. It's disgusting. He's giddy, you know? He's just reliving the moment. And here's probably, you know, one of the poor souls, obviously. The victims, you know, or as they would say, the terrorists, right? Palestinian amputee who lost his leg when he was shot by Israeli troops. If you're looking at the actual article, it's showing a man missing a leg, you know, with some crutches there. One of the victims goes on. Roy, who served as a sniper in the Gavati Brigade until his discharge a year and a half ago, says the hit he remembers most vividly is the one that drew the biggest audience. There was pressure because the battalion commander had showed up and everyone was on our case. There was a Palestinian who looked like he was about 20 who didn't stop moving around. Pink shirt, gray pants. What they do is run, run, run. Then they end up in the concertina wire. He was really good at it. In that situation, you can finish him off or hit someone behind him. I clearly remember being worried about missing his leg, then feeling relief that I made a precise hit. Relief is also how Ite, a former Haredi who was a sniper in the Netzah Yehuda Battalion, ultra-Orthodox equivalent of the Nahal Brigade, I saw a guy who was about to light a Molotov cocktail. In a case like that, you don't do calculations. I got on the radio, described the target, and I got authorized. The pressure is insane. Everything you learned and trained for is distilled into that moment. You get yourself together, remind yourself to breathe, and then, boom, I shot the knee and he fell. I made sure everything was all right, that I hit the right place, end quote. Is that sort of confirmation part of the protocol? It's a, quote, the directive is to keep watching after shooting to see whether the goal was achieved. You only report a hit after an additional look. To look afterward is the easy part, or more correctly, it's the part that brings relief. Because in this specific case, the terrorist was less than 100 meters from my buddies, and it could have ended badly. And after you look a second time and you see the actual wound, is it still easy? Quote, you are not meant to see massive bleeding, because in the region of the knee and bones, there aren't a lot of capillaries. If you see blood, that's not a good sign, because you probably hit too high. The regular scenario is supposed to be that you hit, break a bone, and in the best case, break the kneecap. Within a minute, an ambulance comes to evacuate him, and after a week, he gets his disability pension. Like, they really act like they're doing these people favors. It is so disgusting. These are war crimes, okay? This is a humanitarian issue. And they're just casually just describing, you know, what they do. It's just, this is just, you know, standard operating procedure or SOP for these guys, for the IDF. They're terrorists. The IDF are terrorists, okay? Not the people who are there, who have been displaced and who are just protesting against the absolutely egregious things that happen in that region of the world in the name of Zionism, I guess. But Shlomi, a sniper from Duv Devon, says hitting the kneecap is also not desirable. Quote, the objective is to cause the inciter minimal damage, so he will stop doing what he's doing. So I, at least, would try to aim at a fattier place in the muscle region. Can you be that precise? Show me. Yes, because the Ruger, a type of rifle used mainly at demonstrations, is intended for use at 100 or 150 meters. From that distance, you see the leg even with the eye. And with a telescopic lens that enlarges the power of 10, you can actually see the tendons. So it's pretty simple for these great IDF snipers, these heroes of Israel. You know, it's simple for them. No worries. Guys with megaphones. Who is considered a major inciter at these demonstrations, right? You know, who has the target on them? I'd say everyone, because again, all Arabs are terrorists by their definitions. The criteria are quite vague, of course. A major inciter is a major inciter, Amir asserts simply. See? He's an Arab. He's a major inciter, of course. The commander of a Golani sniper squad who saw action during the first wave of disturbances along the fence, he explains that, quote, it's not so complicated to figure out who's organizing and firing up the other protesters. You identify him, for example, by the fact that he has his back to you and he's facing the crowd. In many cases, he's also holding a megaphone, end quote. Ite's impression is that major inciters are, for example, people who stand around in the back, arranging things. They are not necessarily a target, but to let them know that we see what they're doing, I would shoot in the air around them, you know. The ones whose arms are others is not a concrete threat to them, at least not directly, but he makes things happen. So to hit him is a problem, but also not to hit him is a problem. That's why the moment he gets tired of activating others and starts to take an active part in the chaos, he'll be the first one we hit, because he's the most important in terms of the group around him. He's the key to stopping the flare-up. And that's just wrong, number one, because they take him out, it just pisses off everybody around the guy. They remove the guy, and they keep doing what they're doing. I mean, if you watch these things, these people are at their wits' end. They have nothing to lose. They're desperate. And you've taken everything from them, and they're pretty much slaves in their own homes. So, yeah, no, I don't think you're going to stop them by taking out what you consider a major insider. It just continues, okay? He adds, you don't hit those who whip up the crowd because of what they're doing. It doesn't come from an emotional place of, he's the one who's causing the uprising, so let's take him down. This isn't a war. It's a Friday afternoon DO, disruption of order. The goal is not to take down as many as possible, but to make things stop as quickly as possible. According to IDF protocol, a minor is not to be classified as a major insider. I didn't even know they actually differentiated minors from adults, because in other articles I've read and other protocols and other IDF memos and paperwork, it says that they don't differentiate between adults and children. They're all terrorists. So I think this is a little, this is actually propaganda right here. According to Eden, there are borderline ages, and so you don't go there. Exactly. You don't differentiate ages. I don't even know why you're talking about it. Is it really possible to tell the difference between a lean man and a well-built teenager in the heat of a demonstration? Quote, you try to understand according to their body language, Amir says. The way he holds the stone, whether it looks like he's been dragged into the situation or he's leading it. These demonstrations are a little like a youth movement from their point of view. Even if you don't know their precise ranks, you can tell by the charisma who the group leader is. They're just ridiculous. Basically, it's point and shoot, They're shooting fish in a bowl, if you will. It is just disgusting to me. And to say that they're purposely hitting knees, I mean, that's probably partly true, but you can see it on a daily, weekly basis. They're killing people, too. I mean, there's headshots left and right. They're purposely hitting them fatally. Roy maintains that, quote, in 99.9% of the cases, the identification is precise. There are a lot of images of the target and a lot of crosshairs focused on it. A drone above, lookouts, the sniper, his commanders. It's not just one, two, or even three people who are watching him. So there will be no doubt. Shalmi is a little less certain. Quote, sometimes it really is hard to tell the difference between minors and adults. You look at facial features, height, body mass. Clothing is also a certain index. The younger ones are usually wearing t-shirts. But listen, a 16-year-old can cause you harm too. He presents a threat, the age parameter is not necessarily relevant. Ite agrees. Quote, the goal is not to hit minors, but a Molotov cocktail is a Molotov cocktail. And the bottle doesn't know whether the person holding it is a man of 20, a teenager of 14, or a kid of 8. Of course, Amir recalls experiencing a similar dilemma. For example, there was a boy whose behavior justified a hit, but we estimated that he was 12. And we deliberately didn't hit him. Hey, guys, this is great. Look what they decided to do instead, okay? Not only because of how it would look in the media, but because of our own substantive considerations, we decided we would really scare him. So we just hit the person next to him. It was not urgent for us. He'll be here next week, too, end quote. What? So a non-major insider, okay? So according to their own words in the article above, they shouldn't have fired at this man, but it was justified because they wanted to scare the 12-year-old next to him. Hey, we'll be right back after the break, guys. Please stay tuned.
Let me tell you how it's gonna work, kids. You work hard like your parents both did. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. Distribute when we make our pay tax. Hey, sit back down, don't be a jerk.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Broken songs become to the embrace, sounds to rest my ears. Not a word I heard could I play. Story was quite clear.
I can never get enough of that music. Love it. Love it even more when you hear Tom's covers of these songs. He's actually brilliant. You know, we were talking about doing RTR Truth Music as well as RTR Truth Media. And Tom definitely has the talent. Not so much me, but I'm there to support him. Rachel was mentioning actually off air, which is very, very true. You know, some important news. The Taliban, you know, peace alliance, right, with America over in Iraq. has to do with obviously with Iran and everything that's going on. And what happens? You know, what happens? We make this peace, you know, alliance, this peace treaty, if you will, ceasefire in the area. 3 days later, we open fire on Taliban. So did we really do a ceasefire, right? Rachel, I think, is going to go into that a little more. You have an article for us, Rach?
Hey, Chris. Yes, let me just pull it up if you don't mind. I mean, there was quite a bit that happened over the weekend. So this is certainly something important to talk about. So the article I'm referencing is from March 6th. Dozens killed in Afghanistan attack days after U.S. Taliban deal. And this is from CBS News. Mm-hmm. So when I look through this, it pretty much says that in Afghanistan, a gunman opened fire Friday at a ceremony in Afghanistan's capital attended by prominent political leaders, killing at least 32 people and wounding dozens before the two attackers were slain by police. The Islamic State group claimed responsibility for the attack in a statement on this website. Militants from ISIS have declared war on Afghanistan's Shiites, and many of those at the ceremony were from the minority Shiite sect. The ceremony commemorated the 1995 slaying of Abdul Ali Mazari, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, the leader of Afghanistan's ethnic Hazaras, who are mostly Shiite Muslims. The Taliban said they were not involved in the attack, which came less than a week after the U.S. and the group signed an ambitious peace deal that lays out a path for the withdrawal of American forces from the country. Let me see if I can access the rest of the article. But yeah, I mean, this is pretty crazy. And for anyone who was really hoping that we would have troops removed from Afghanistan, that this was over, you know, what have we accomplished here? All the peace treaty deals. I mean, many times, as we know, a lot of peace treaty deals are just simply kind of a way of political and virtual signaling. It doesn't really accomplish much.
Yes.
Let's see what else I have in this article. We attend the ceremony. Let's see if there's anything other relevant. But I mean, I remember seeing this and just kind of thinking that it's sort of business as usual. There was another article that I haven't listed from 2014. I forgot. Mm-hmm. And it was just talking about how under the Obama administration, a lot of missiles got into the hands of the Taliban and in the area, and how, you know, how exactly, you know, do these different groups come across, like, all their weaponry and everything like that. If these are just sort of poor farmers living in caves, how exactly are they getting high-tech weaponry? Seems kind of odd, right?
Well, Obama said it himself. We were funding ISIL forces. How many of those ISIL forces, you know, those that weaponry and those missiles and all that tech ended up in the hands of the Taliban? I do not know, you know?
And then,
but I'm sure it made its way there.
I'm just going to read one more paragraph from the article that I'm referring to now, but it says any U.S. troop pullout from Afghanistan would be tied in part to promises by the Taliban to fight terrorism and ISIS. During withdrawal, the U.S. would retain the right to continue its counterterrorism operations in the country. So even if the U.S., you know, even if the Trump administration promises to leave, they're saying we want to keep that door open to keep fighting terrorism, but that kind of gives sort of a blank check to just continue staying there. So this is pretty awful.
Yeah. And that's the same thing they said about Iraq. They justified staying in Iraq because they had to protect Israel. Literally. That's what they said, you know, in case, they needed a point in the region, you know, an area, base of command or a front operating base, as they call them, to be there, you know, and I don't think we'll ever leave that region anytime soon.
Yeah. And then after the break, I have one more article.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're not done with this. Please stay with us. We got much more to talk about after the break. Stay tuned.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Clouds are rolling in.
All right, I do have another article. I didn't want to interrupt the great music. I feel kind of bad.
Please go ahead. Time is limited.
Yes, in the zone. So here's another article, which was great because I'm in New York and I was at an art workshop this past weekend. And I just, you know, was going through Twitter because the news is kind of in hyperdrive. And it's like, oh, by the way, New York Governor Cuomo declared like a state of emergency. So this article I'm reading from is from Fox News, which is an article or so after the fact, but it does cover it. It says New York Governor Cuomo says people should not panic over coronavirus despite there being a state of emergency. And basically what I had read about what exactly state of emergency is, because I was trying to find out details, from what I could tell, it was certain things like New York State kind of waiving fees for people to go get tested for coronavirus or trying to get a hold of tests faster. That was from what I could tell. But this article says that he's trying to tell people not to panic. It sounds more alarming than it is. he said it's an administrative action meant to allow the state to move a little faster governmentally to address the issue. I don't want people to stay. I don't want people to stay calm, and therefore, I'm telling them what I need to tell them to be calm. He insisted. That's some wizard speak. I have no idea what that just said. If they know the facts, they will be calm. At the same time, Cuomo acknowledged that numbers of confirmed cases will almost certainly go up as testing increases. I believe there were over 80 potential cases in New York. I think, and again, my own personal stance of coronavirus is I don't necessarily believe what's going on the mainstream. I don't necessarily believe in the numbers out of China. But I'm just kind of reporting, just so our listeners know the context of reporting on what's being declared. I think at least 14 people are allegedly have died in the U.S. But anyway, he says we're testing aggressively and a large number of people will be infected by the end of the day. We remember that we're really trying to avoid here is massive disruption of closing everything down for 2 weeks the way China did, the way Italy is doing. We're trying to protect the vulnerable populations for whom this coronavirus should really be dangerous, which is senior citizens and the immune compromised. And then Cuomo also downplayed the seriousness of the virus itself, noting that it is like a bad flu and not serious unless one is part of those vulnerable populations. We're not dealing with Ebola virus. We're not dealing with a SARS virus, he said. And again, I don't know exactly all the details coming out of the mainstream from what I can gather if this is a real virus or if this is whatever this is, allegedly, like, it's a mistake to just compare it to the flu, not in terms of symptoms per se, but in terms of incubation and in terms of recovery rate and in terms of how it can be passed around. So there are some differences between coronavirus and a standard flu from what's being reported, because I've seen a lot of people say that there's no difference between this and regular flu, but it sounds like the transmission rate is quite different. Right, from what's being reported.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah. Then he said, what we do know here is we calibrate to the facts as we know at the time. So as the facts change, you change your strategy. But this time, there's no reason to close down mass transit. And I saw people in New York were asking for schools to be closed and, you know, public places. And of course, like, any sort of major city is going to, you know, be difficult. And one last item from this, Cuomo noted that New York City has only seen 11 confirmed cases so far, with more in Westchester County, north of the Bronx. And while one individual from Westchester was known to have taken mass transit into the city, Cuomo claimed that by now city residents should be in the clear since symptoms would have set in already if people were infected by that individual on the train. But as the mainstream has been reporting, I guess this is a really difficult thing because the virus, you know, people don't show symptoms initially. They show symptoms much later. People who have been infected have been reinfected. So there's all kinds of things being thrown at us. So it's really difficult to pinpoint. I'm personally on the camp where I'm suspicious of if coronavirus symptoms are in existence because of 5G or if there really is a virus and 5G is making it worse, because there's a correlation between where 5G has been installed, like South Korea, areas in China, you know, amongst large populations, and this going on. So I don't want to throw any disinformation around. It's a little bit hard to pinpoint exactly what's going on. And I do know whatever is going on, the government here and other places is going to take advantage of it. And I do see some contention. I do see a lot of contention. For instance, it doesn't surprise me that a lot of crazy things happen right before an election cycle. And that I do see this as an opportunity for Democrats to, you know, blame Trump on how it's being handled through the CDC or blame other administrations. I personally don't trust the World Health Organization, given how much money is put into it, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. No. So the thing is, we have a combination of government and corporation players in this game that are either creating the situation or making the situation worse, and it's becoming politicized, even though it's a health issue. So that's at least from what I can gather.
Yes. And I mean, history always repeats itself. Fort Detrick needs to be looked at. If for those who are not looking at Fort Detrick in Maryland, which is literally where we have all our nasty little bio bugs and weapons and everything that's literally internationally prohibited on the world stage. You know, we literally have war criminals in Maryland at Fort Detrick. Okay. And that place is so bad with its protocols and its cleanups and the way it handles its hazards and its risks to the public, essentially, that it had a cease and desist order. I think it was in 2018. And I followed up on it, and today everything's as normal. I mean, I don't know when the cease and desist ended. I couldn't really find that. But they got a cease and desist order from the CDC. They sent a cease and desist from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, to Fort Detrick, okay, a military laboratory, a base with a lab on it. And that lab houses like Ebola, anthrax, all sorts of things, bubonic plague, you name it, things we don't know the names to. And it's said from things I've read that the origins of the COVID-19, which is coronavirus, could possibly have came from America. And if it did come from America, I would bet my last very paycheck that it came from Fort Detrick. They're saying, you know, of course, Wuhan, and there was a medical, there was a military team that showed up in Wuhan, literally days or the week of the outbreak, you know, in Wuhan. So I don't think that's much of a coincidence either. I don't believe in coincidences. So perhaps this military team brought over whatever they did in Fort Detrick to Wuhan, right? I mean, the timeline seems to agree with it. But again, like Rachel said, this is my speculation. I do not have hard facts to this, but you know, as far as what they're telling you in the media, you could just as well believe that. I mean, it's you know, there's the same amount of facts and substance behind it, but there's history behind what I'm saying as well. Israel's also doing sort of what's happening in New York. Bethlehem, there's articles in Haaretz saying Bethlehem seems like a ghost town after the coronavirus closure. So there's things coming down over in Israel. They're desperately trying to come up with a immunization against it. So this is definitely designed, I think, to drum up more fear. You know, more cause to look at that while they do other things behind closed doors. We got the Taliban, you know, missiles and fighting going on still in the region of Afghanistan, where we've been at war, you know, indefinitely for the past going on 20 years now. So I really think it's a matter of look over here while we do things over here. And yes, it's very real and it hurts and kills people, but it's drummed up a little more than it is. I don't know if you kind of agree with me or you have your own take on that, Rachel.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, I was just trying to press the mic button earlier. that's interesting. I didn't consider the Fort Detrick thing. I kind of had assumed it was from a lab in Wuhan. Again, it is so hard to pinpoint exactly what is going on, especially when we're sort of dependent on all these external, you know, reportings and everything like that. I do see videos of things like China spraying down streets with all kinds of chemicals and nastiness. And then I see back and forth people blaming Democrats and saying, or at least saying that they're trying to politicize this to take down Trump and blame him for the handling of this issue, like somehow a virus is his fault or what have you. And then a lot of back and forth on this. I've seen things where the testing kits aren't necessarily reliable, or the way that they have tested people and declared them to have coronavirus is if they already have pneumonia, and you know the basis for testing is sort of not reliable either. So
it
so
seems
quite a
little flawed.
Yeah, and I was kind of curious when Israel was going to report that they were seeing coronavirus in their region, and I saw
Israel
was working.
That's all over the place. All over the place now. If you look at Haaretz, it's all over their news cycle. It's definitely in Israel if you look at the news now.
Yeah, sure. There also was I'm trying to think of who it was. Weren't there like religious officials declaring that they were like getting rid of the virus from their followers? I'm trying to think of where that was reported.
I didn't see that. But if you could find it, I'm interested to look.
Shoot, I'm going to try to find it. It was like some crazy pastor like declaring this. But anyway, I also remember reading about allegedly like it would be a year and a half before they could come up with a vaccine, although personally, like, I don't necessarily trust the vaccine that's coming out. And apparently the reinfection rate is so bad that if you were to get a vaccine, I don't know how much that would help, or if by the time the vaccine comes out, will the virus have mutated? So there's just, I'm not trying to scare anyone, there's just all kinds of questions to ask of exactly what's going on here.
Yeah. I would say, you know, please just, you know, be careful and mindful of your health. Eat healthy, you know, be mindful of your diet, exercise, back to basics, fundamentals, you know, your immune system, because that's what I'm hearing. You know, the people that are dying from this thing are young people, very young, like babies, you know, old people, elderly, and those with immunodeficiencies already, you know, compromised health system. I don't know if you've heard any different. I don't hear of people who are healthy dying from this, unless they don't take care of it. So
from what I've heard, a lot of people passing away in China, part of that is due because of the heavy cigarette smoking and air pollution. And it seems like this virus, more than anything, you know, leads to pneumonia or respiratory issues.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense too.
I still do believe that the panic is worse than what the virus is reported in of itself. And also, I do know that conferences such as Comic-Con is supposed to be in Seattle. I don't know if that's going to continue. I know South by Southwest was reported to have been canceled, and that takes place in Austin every year. That's a huge musical festival that really brings in a lot of revenue to Texas. So, you know, a lot of businesses are kind of tanking a bit because of this. I know it's interesting too. A lot of CEOs have stepped down, like the CEO of Disney. It's interesting. A lot of CEOs have been stepping down at the same time. I'm trying to think what other companies, but I did see an article, I should have sent you the link, that basically saying that the U.S. is headed for a recession because of coronavirus specifically.
Yes. I was actually going to bring that point up. Did you see the aid package? You know, the almost $8 billion. I think it's like growing by the day. It was originally 7.76, I think, billion for the coronavirus aid package. You know, the emergency aid package that Trump signed.
Just real fast. I didn't see that. And I just do want to make a point that I think the U.S. was headed for recession kind of anyway, in terms of like all the bubbles going on. And real fast, too, in terms of AIPAC, allegedly there were some people who were in AIPAC meeting who had the virus. Which is interesting.
Positive. I was just reading that myself as you were talking about this on Haaretz.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I think we have a caller actually holding in Washington. Brian. Do we have you, Brian?
Yes, we do.
How's it going?
Hey, thank you. I'm doing well. Do you think you could type in Americans for Innovation? I'm interested whether you've seen this pretty big tying in of coronavirus and electromagnetics and I wonder if you've seen this story. A gentleman named
I have not seen this, I don't think, but I'm looking right now. Thank you. I have seen a lot of tech stories coming out about related to the coronavirus and what they're doing with AI, facial rec to see symptomatic people, all sorts of stuff. So I'm looking at this right now as we speak,
Is the date Friday, February Friday, February 28th, coronavirus uncovers Rothschild Lord Furbright as key to the 140-year Pilgrim Society monopoly over world culture, commerce, and war.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm looking at that right now, actually. I haven't seen this article. Thank you.
And then
I'm familiar with the Pilgrim Society, and I am familiar with their, you know, New World Order agenda. To be very, you know, just very vague about it, I guess, and so blunt. I mean, that's kind of broad painting it, but absolutely.
If the discussion on your broadcast today is who's behind all this, it would kind of lead to, well, maybe there's some retaliation against China. Things were getting out of control in Hong Kong. What were we going to do about it? Well, this 140-year messing around with vaccines, going to South Africa, let's have World War One and use germ warfare where we can kind of dial in on our own people, that being the Germans and the Brits.
Absolutely. I think we have a break. If we could hold you over, Brian, after the break, I'd love to hear you. I don't want to lose you. I want you to continue. I think we have a break right now. Hang on.
The internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Welcome back, and I hope we still have Brian on the line.
Roger,
we still have you, Brian. Excellent.
You got me.
I've been reading the article as we were listening to the commercial break here. Excellent, excellent article. Excellent research. I'm familiar with Cecil Rhodes, you know, the Pilgrim Society. all of their long-term goals. It adds up. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I got to dig into a lot of these details and, you know, getting the background information and making heads or tails of everything. But I appreciate it. I don't know if you have more to comment on it, but it's very, very interesting to me.
I do. If you scroll down, there's a hour-long video, Gabriel McGibbon, February 29th. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like to read anymore. So that would give somebody that you could put it on an MP3, go out and sweep out your garage and maybe take in this information. I think the very beginning of it, I thought was really interesting. These people that, you know, the United States doesn't control their government. Britain does, or the people that run Britain. So at the very beginning of that hour long, the guy says, you know, this attempt to genocide non-white people. He's, you know, this white nationalism is a really big subject. We listened to this Breiser in Ireland on Mondays. His whole chat room is just full of, we need a pigment sensor and decide who's white enough to be part of our cult. Well, that is mentioned in the first couple minutes of this hour-long video. What part of this are we involved with? Are we pushing our opponent's plan? It's just got a huge amount of interest, and I think I'm just encouraging people to have a look see at it.
I'll let you close out the show. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. It's called Her Royal Bioweapon Exposed. It's a 43-minute video, Gabriel McGibbon, from February 29, 2020. I'd recommend everybody listen to it. It's a video, but it's more just audio to listen to it. He's right. You know, are we playing into their hand? I mean, is this by design? You know, is this all by chance? Is it coincidence? Is it from the wild? Did we get this from animals? Or is it from a lab in Fort Detrick or Wuhan?
I also think it's weird that Netflix released their, you know, their series called Pandemic, which is about like a respiratory disease around the same time as this.
Yeah, coincidental, right?
Yeah.
Just coincidental.
Yeah. And if you think about it too, like what are sick people going to do if they're stuck at home and have nothing else to do? They're going to just be watching Netflix.
You know what I mean? Indoctrinated into the fear porn. Yes.
Yeah, they're just going to be watching propaganda.
You want to hear a coincidence? There's some virus movie in Spokane, Washington, mainstream Hollywood movie about just this kind of thing. And then Governor Inslee in Washington wants mandatory vaccines. And we have the biggest number of deaths here. Not a coincidence.
By the way, next Friday in Seattle, I believe there's going to be a protest outside of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that's there.
Yes, there is.
I know Zachary Hubbard from Gamatria News Effect was posting about it.
Thank you for that.
That's all we have, guys. Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you, Rachel. Please stay tuned and listen to the rest of RBN today and come back next week.
All right.
America,
take care.
God bless you all.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Interested in photo ops.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.